next on Packers Today. Stressed at running back? No problem.
Here's the snap. Give to Montgomery. Picks his way up the middle. Slips through. Up the middle. To the 25, 30, 35. He's to the 40. Outside the hash marks. Hammered down near the 45-yard line.
Stressed at corner? No problem there either.
Snap to Hoyer. Looking in the pocket. Throws it over the middle. It's batted away. Incomplete. Ladarius Gunter.
In spite of the challenge brought on by injuries, the Packers dinked and dunked their way to a victory over the Bears. Coming up, Larry and I will break down the key moments and the eye-popping performances from Thursday's game. Packers Today, presented by Verizon, starts right now.
Here comes Thompson. He is hammered down across the 20-yard line. This time he's nabbed by Kenny Clark. And a dagger by Aaron Rodgers.
Hello and welcome to Packers Today. I'm Ted Stefaniak. He's Larry McCarron, and we're talking about a victory over the Bears from Thursday. Another great performance by the Packers. We're going to talk about some of those highlights and some of those great performances in a moment. But Larry, what I really want to know is what impressed you most about Thursday's win?
The Green Bay Packers, in a collective effort, figuring out a way to get it done in very adverse circumstances. Ted, we're talking about going into a National Football League primetime contest without a true running back, at least one that's been here for a while. And that's kind of amazing. And the net result is the Packers wind up with over 400 yards of offense. And on the other side of the ball, very depleted in the secondary, and yet hold a National Football League offense to under 200 yards. You put the whole thing together. And that was a heck of a deal for the Green Bay Packers.
Let's take a look at the highlights. We pick it up third play of the second half. Packers lead 6-3 until Chicago's Leonard Floyd with a trifecta. A sack, a fumble, a recovery in the end zone. The extra point would make it 10-6 Chicago. Next possession for the Packers. Receiver turned running back Ty Montgomery takes this handoff 30 yards. It's the longest run of the season for the Packers. 12 plays later, the Packers reclaim the lead on this 5-yard touchdown pass to Devontae Adams, and the Packers led 13-10. 6:30 left in the third, Chicago's driving until Nick Perry sacks former Southern Cal teammate Matt Barkley. That stalled the drive and led to a punt. Moving ahead, first play of the fourth quarter, and Aaron Rodgers caps an 8-play, 88-yard drive with this 4-yard strike to Adams. The point after was good. It was 20-10 Green Bay. 5:39 remaining in the game when Aaron Rodgers tosses his third touchdown pass of the half, this time to Randall Cobb. A couple interceptions late in the fourth nullified Chicago's attempt at a late comeback, and the Packers win 26-10. Aaron Rodgers had a record-setting day. His 39 completions broke the franchise record of 36 previously held by Brett Favre. Ty Montgomery, in his dual role, had 60 yards rushing and 66 yards receiving. Devontae Adams had 13 receptions for 132 yards and 2 touchdowns, all our career best. So some pretty impressive numbers in this week's game on Thursday, Larry. Let's talk a little bit about Ty Montgomery. What a week he had. You know, we've seen him in practice the last couple of weeks working out at running back. But to actually carry it over into a game, that's a little different.
What was really impressive, Ted, is now that he's getting some at-bats, I've always looked at him, he's built more like a running back than a wide receiver. There is nothing long and slender and linear about Ty Montgomery. There's a lot of meat on those bones. And as the game wore on, you started seeing him get comfortable and use some of that meat and run through tackles and so forth. And he ended up averaging almost 7 yards a carry, and the Packers, in a situation where they have no running backs and all that good stuff, they end up with over 100 yards rushing, had somewhat of a balance to their offense. Just a terrific effort all the way around.
Great effort, and we talked to Ty after the game on Thursday, and he said he's ready whenever, wherever.
Football player. You know, as a football player, I can do anything that fast. That's the mindset I have. That's the mindset that I was raised with.
I ain't had that many plays in the backfield since, like, eighth grade, I think. But it was a lot of fun, though.
I'm really proud of Ty. I thought he played great tonight. He made a lot of plays. You know, the short passing game is like an extension of the run game. In games like tonight, when you're going with a lot of four receiver packages with Ty back there, and I'm really proud of the way he played, and a lot to build on.
Well, Aaron said, you know, there's a lot to build off of with Ty Montgomery as their relationship continues to grow. But another guy that really performed well on Thursday night was Devontae Adams.
Absolutely. A career day in every sense of the word. And they needed Devontae to play that way. And I think it's another step in his development. And I want to tell you, Ted, that first touchdown catch of his, it was like he was outmaneuvering. While he's making the catch, he's outmaneuvering the defender. I mean, that was big, big-time stuff. A tremendous night for Devontae Adams. And he's really got a foundation to build from as the season wears on.
Yeah, hopefully we see many more games like that from Devontae. And we talked to him Thursday night as well. He talked about what that performance meant to him.
In a sense, a statement game. I mean, I'm ready to play. I feel good. And, you know, especially coming off of, you know, getting hit last week, just to show my teammates more than anything, my teammates and the coaches. I'm not worried about anybody else other than my family, my coaches, and everybody in my inner circle, you know, because the rest of the people are going to be back and forth whether or not, you know, they're with you.
When a receiver is dictating to you what routes he wants, that's the kind of mindset you want from a guy like that, because he feels like that he was not being able to be guarded for a while there, and you saw it. I mean, he was basically telling me, you know, hey, let's try this one, let's do this, or let's do this.
Well, it's a great day at the office when the quarterback and the receiving crew are all on the same page like that. They get in the zone. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers had 56 passes in that game on Thursday, had a terrific game with all those completions. But what's it like for the guys up front to try to block for a quarterback throwing that much?
Ted, to be honest, they get in the huddle, they call a play, you run what's called. You don't question anything and think, hey, can we run a draw once in a while to take the edge off their pass rush? Now, the Bears, pretty respectable pass rushing team. Overall, the protection real good. But also overall, another day at the office for the Packers offensive line. They've kind of been the bell cows for the offense, the steady Eddie. And the Packers needed them to continue that, to show that kind of leadership that somehow, some way, again, back to that, we'll figure out a way. Somehow, some way, we can get this done against a pretty respectable defense. Bears middle of the road in all the defensive stats.
Yeah, you can give that entire offensive line a game ball. You know, another.
I don't think they will, but.
You don't think they will?
I'm sure they'd like that.
I'd like to give them one.
Okay.
And speaking of game balls, how about a game ball for the head coach? Mike McCarthy did a great job this week. When you consider all the injuries he had to deal with, picking up a running back in a trade, there were a lot of moving parts going into this game. Terrific job getting this team ready for the game on Thursday.
Agreed. I think this was a type of game where a head coach shows what he's all about. And first of all, you're talking about a head coach that's de facto the head coach of offense. Okay, how do we go about this without a running back, maybe not a running game? And the Bears are notorious the way they play defense, keeping things in front of them. They don't give up big plays. So what does Mike McCarthy do? He attacks them with a short pass, generally speaking. And that's wildly successful. And then getting people ready and giving them the types of plays where they've had somewhat of a running game. But I really think what truly spoke volumes, Ted, start of the second half, the Bears get the fumble, the touchdown, and they take the lead. Now, if this team is not totally engaged and totally on board, that was a tipping point in that game. And what do the Packers do? They answer with a 13-play, 85-yard touchdown drive. That, to me, reflects on the head coach and where he had his team's collective head at. I'm all for a game ball to Mike McCarthy, although I don't think he'll give himself one.
When we come back, next man up equals best man up. That's been the motto on the defensive side of the ball this season. When we return, Larry breaks down cornerback Ladarius Gunter's performance in this week's Chalk Talk. Packers Today is back after this timeout.
Welcome back. You're watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon.
Time for this week's Chalk Talk, brought to you by Sandwich Bros. Vince Lombardi once said, it's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get back up. Coach Lombardi would be very proud of Legarius Gunter.
Gunter was coming off a well-documented, tough outing against the Dallas Cowboys. The Bears were coming in with Alshon Jeffrey, who was averaging almost 17 yards a catch. The Packers' game plan, Gunter on Jeffrey almost every down.
You never want to leave that on film. Of course, I had to come back out and show everybody what I can do and how I can get it done.
Left side, right side, or in the slot, Gunter got it done against the Bears' most dangerous receiver. He set the tone early with tight, physical, in-your-face coverage.
That was a game plan, you know, hands-on all day and just work my technique.
Jeffrey was targeted 11 times and came away with just 3 catches, good for 33 harmless yards. On the few occasions Gunter was not covering Jeffrey, he was smothering somebody else. Legarius Gunter got knocked down, but he got back up big time against the Chicago Bears.
It's great to go out there and compete and show everybody that I belong. It's actually great to get the team win, too.
Ted, I got to tell you, I really enjoyed watching Legarius Thursday night. I mean, that's what this game is all about. You struggle, the other guys get paid too, and watching him, that was a tough situation for him, and he rose to the occasion. Great to see.
Yeah, he's just going to keep getting better and better, I think. But so is this Packer defense. Wow, did they play a great game, rebounding from that game against Dallas last Sunday. They only allowed 189 yards total to the Bears, including 69 on the ground, back to playing some great run defense.
Yeah, they sure did, but I really looked at the Packers defense from early in the game. Play style was really good, and I'm talking about playing fast and playing edgy, and occasionally the Bears got a play on them here and there, but nothing consistent, and I think they did get back on track, and mostly to what I refer to, play style, fast, edgy. And when they play like that, they're tough.
Yeah, I think a lot of that's coming from those inside linebackers, too. That group has played pretty darn well, including rookie linebacker Blake Martinez, who had himself a great game.
He did have a good game, and everybody will remember the interception, but he was playing fast and edgy before that, made some impact plays, and just the ability to quickly diagnose things, get in the mix, and so forth. But he's doing what you'd expect a Blake Martinez to do. He's growing. His training is on the job, and he's growing with it. And we saw some of that against Chicago Bears.
And he talked about it to you on Thursday as well. Here's Blake describing his first career interception.
Morgan came down and did what he's supposed to do, hit the ball out, and I was there to kind of, I was getting ready to just tackle him. And all of a sudden the ball comes out, and I just got the ball, and next thing I know, I get up, and everyone thought I was down, except for Joe, and basically pointed out and was like, hey, Blake, go. And all of a sudden, I just went into survival mode, didn't really think about falling to the ground. Had like 7 dudes ready to rip my head off. And I was like, okay, spin, shoes off. My shoe fell off, fell to the ground, and it was a good experience.
Coming up next, we'll talk about the new kid on the block, running back Nile Davis. Is it realistic to think he could start having a big impact as soon as next week's game in Atlanta? Larry and I will discuss after the break. Here's a look at the NFC North standings. Packers Today, we'll be right back.
I'm telling you, when I was behind that old line, it was just a pretty thing. I see nothing but good things in the future because, you know, they're on their guys. They're not letting people come through. So I'm excited to run behind this old line.
He didn't see much action on Thursday, but the action he did see has fourth-year running back Nile Davis excited to start running behind the Packers' offensive line. Earlier this week, The Packers traded for Davis, who had spent the past three seasons with Kansas City. In his limited role with the Chiefs, he totaled more than 1,000 all-purpose yards and had 12 touchdowns. So you get a guy in a trade, Nile Davis comes in, and I think some people were surprised on Thursday night. Well, he didn't play a whole lot in that game, but there's a lot more that goes into getting a running back ready for an NFL game.
He barely had time for a cup of coffee in Green Bay before the Bear game, and the kickoff was already here. Didn't surprise me at all. Did very little teamwork during practice when he was here, and it's a lot to digest. They had a handful of plays that we saw him at the end that Nile Davis was comfortable running. And so it'll be a process absorbing. The Packer offense is not the simplest thing in the world, and we've seen it with rookies a number of times. Rookies coming in fresh have rookie camp, OTAs, training camp, and people still talk about absorbing all the things in the Packer offense. So I think that'll be a work in progress as Nile Davis goes along. But now that he's had that first few days, the game, now he's got an entire football week, I think the progress should speed up quite a bit.
But without Nile Davis being ready to go last Thursday, the Packers had to make some adjustments, and they had that short passing game going really well against the Bears. Is that something you think could be a long-term solution for the Packers, or is that just something that they're doing until they get Davis ready to go here?
Well, I think they may have hit on something as far as developing a rhythm to their offense. Despite all the adversity they were facing, the offense seemed to have a flow to it. I mean, you want to get some rhythm to your passing game? Throw it a lot. And that's what the Packers were doing. Now, teams will adjust to that as time goes on, but the Packers, they can adjust back. But I'll tell you what, at the end of the football day, Ted, you know, getting 5 yards, it's a lot easier to throw that ball that the defense will say, okay, they got a 5-yard gain, make the tackle, we'll get them next time. It's a lot easier to get those kinds of 5-yard gains than it is to knock them off the line of scrimmage and get 5 in the running game. How you get it means nothing as long as you get it.
Still to come, the Packers have finished this long homestand and now must play 4 of their next 5 away from Lambeau Field. First up, the NFC South leading Atlanta Falcons. We'll talk Falcons after this timeout. Up next for the Packers, a road game against Atlanta. Here's a quick look at the Falcons and this week's scouting report presented by CarMax. At 4-2, the Falcons are led by head coach Dan Quinn. Heading into today's matchup with the Chargers, Atlanta boasts the league's number one ranked offense. Signal caller Matt Ryan, now in his 9th season, is on pace to throw for more than 5,500 yards this season. That, of course, would be an NFL record. Ryan's favorite target, wide receiver Julio Jones, is averaging 21 yards per reception this season to go along with his 4 touchdowns. It's not just passing. Running back Devontae Freeman is 6th in the league in rushing with 450 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he's averaging 5 yards a carry. Defensively, outside linebacker Vic Beasley leads the Falcons with 4.5 sacks, and cornerback Robert Alford leads the way with 2 interceptions, including 1 for a touchdown. That Atlanta Falcon offense is really good. They're putting up a lot of numbers. So it's really shaping up to be a great game next Sunday.
Hope it's a lousy game, Ted. I hope the Packers go down there and wax them big time. But we've faced the Falcons over the years, know a little bit about them. And I know this, tough place to play. Their place gets loud. They have the encouragement up on the board, how high the decibels are or whatever they call it. They do that. And most important, they got a quarterback. Matt Ryan's the real deal. He can make all the throws. He's got some weapons. And as you mentioned, this is one of those years they're playing well collectively as an offensive football team.
Yeah, looking forward to that game next Sunday. Packers off today. They've got the mini bye. So We're going to be off for a little bit. We'll see you next Sunday for Packers Today. For Larry McCarron, I'm Ted Stefaniak. Enjoy the day off, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Hey, good job, fellas. At the end of the day, it's whether or not you get the job done, man. Tonight we got it done. That's how it's got to be every week. Every time we take the field, find a way to get the job done. All right? No excuses, man, for the rest of the way. Packers on three. 1, 2, 3. Packers!